This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Vayner Nation, what is good? New podcast. I'm sure you saw the title and you couldn't wait to hit play because I am actually here with, you know, I don't like throwing around the word living legend, but living legend, icon. You know, there are certain athletes that come across in the last century that transcend their sport and bring a lot of value to society. And this incredible guest is one of those individuals. Shaquille O'Neal is with us today. We're going to talk a little bit about basketball. We're going to talk a little bit about entrepreneurship. I think one of the things I'll say right from the get, because I know there's so many of it, I watch every entrepreneur from the kid that DMs me with 13 followers in Pakistan that says, I'm coming in 7 years. I'm like, okay, I believe you, to the entrepreneurs that I don't think people see all the times. And I think Shaq is one of the most underrated entrepreneurs in society because we don't think of him that way because we think of him as the Superman and the global basketball icon. So we'll go into that a little bit. We'll talk about Web3 and NFTs. We'll talk about giving back because that's a little bit of the context of why we wanted to get together and anything else that we can get to in culture. A little, you know, he's a Jersey boy, so I always have a kinship to that as well. Shaq, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. You don't know my nickname in the NFT space?
Your nickname in the NFT space?
Yes.
What is it?
Black Gary V.
I love you so much, my man. Shaq, what? Let's go right into that. What do you think about all this NFT craze? How's that hitting your radar?
You know what? Thank God for people like you. Because, you know, when the space first came out, you got people talking over your head. But then I go to my main man, Gary V, and the way you break it down, it's a very interesting space. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes is Dwight Eisenhower said, the greatest leaders are the ones smart enough to have people around them that are smarter. And I'm glad you're a personal friend, because when I listen to you speak, you break it down in a language that I truly understand.
I appreciate that, my man.
I love hearing the stories about, oh, this NFT was sold for 10, 20 million. Now when you hear stories like that, us as entrepreneurs, we say, hold on, wait a minute. How can we get involved with this business? So I wanted to do something for my Shaquille O'Neal Foundation. So we're coming out with 10,000 unique Shaq Give Back NFTs. All of the proceeds will go to the Shaq Foundation. Shaq Foundation, look, I'm all about helping people, Gary. I'm all about helping kids.
I know you are, my man.
Boys and Girls Club. Yesterday, I did 3 annual Shaq Applause events. I did one in Compton, California. Day before yesterday. Yesterday, I did one in Atlanta. I'm doing one in New Jersey in a couple of days. You know, for me, coming from where I come from, my father, who was a drill sergeant, my mother, who just was a, you know, hardworking woman, didn't have a lot, but they taught me the value of giving back. They taught me the value of helping those in need. And when I was with Toys R Us, it was an alarming stat, 15 to 20 million kids wake up on Christmas Day and not receive one gift.
It's devastating.
I felt that one time. I don't ever want a kid to feel like that. So, you know, if, as long as I'm on this earth, I'm always trying to do what I can to make sure kids get good toys. I don't do promotional bullshit. Good toys. You know, I call, you know, my friend from Nintendo Switch. Got about 1,000 Switches sent out. I got about 1,000 PS5s. I went to Walmart and got bikes. So, you know, yesterday at this little elementary school in McDonough, Georgia, kids were crying, kids were happy, and that's what it's all about.
I love you for that, Shaq. That's why, you know, Perry and some of the people on your team reached out. I wanted to jump quick. You know, I was kind of wrapping it up with my end of the year stuff, but I wanted to get on this podcast because I want everybody in the Vayner Nation to understand that this is, you know, my initial reaction was I've been waiting for somebody to do this. And of course, lo and behold, it's one of my favorite people doing it. All the proceeds, all the royalties go to the foundation. This is going to be a well-priced drop. I don't know if this is on the top of your head. Your team told me yesterday. I don't know if it's 0.05 or, but a very like normal, well-priced minting price. And honestly, I just wanted my community to ape in and support. One, a lot of you who are listening right now know that I believe that these things have unique opportunities long-term as collectibles. And I do think the Shaquille O'Neal IP is a factor. And so the project's cool from that place. But forget about that. If you're like me, you go into these GoFundMes, you go into these Kickstarters, you're just doing random acts of kindness. The fact that this is completely built on random acts of kindness, many of you will go and do donations and do your thing this time of year, the fact that you can get into the NFT space, have an asset for yourself, to be honest, and know that if you flip it in the future, the royalties go to the foundation, and obviously the initial buy is the foundation. So anyway, I'm just happy to play a 0.00000001% little push on this project. I'm going to buy some, and I'm just proud of you for doing this. And I think, much like my ambition with VFriends was to show people how to do it, I think you're showing people another thing to do with these NFTs, which is, yes, there's incredible entrepreneurial personal gains, but it's an unbelievable infrastructure to give back, and you're doing that.
Yes, and I also want people to know I'm selling 10,000 unique Shaq give back NFTs. I have different attributes, fun combinations of outfits, facial expressions, color schemes, and more.
I got a preview of it, and there's some rare ones. And it's, listen, this, the people that are listening, they're very aware of these projects. And so just like a VFriend or a Punk or an Ape, they're just Shaq, so they're all better looking.
Yes, they are. I remember at 4 a.m. one day you text me and said, "Remember Punk?" I was like, "What the hell is Gary?" 4 a.m. He's like, "Remember Punk? You heard it here first." I was like, "What?"
All right, let's hear something else here first. Shaq, let's get into some other fun stuff before we get out of here. And then basketball. It's a wild year. The COVID thing is a challenge right now with teams, but like this is impossibly difficult on December 21st. But if I put you in the corner, which I'm trying to do, which is hard because you're a big fella, what's the NBA finals right now? And I know that's we got a million years to go. I understand the ridiculousness of the question, but I'm actually just genuinely curious what your hot take is on the front runners as of right now.
Front runners in the West, Golden State Warriors, because nobody, including anybody, expected them to be there. Last year, they were fighting to get into the playoffs. Okay, Klay's not coming back till February. They're in, I think, first or second place. On the East, Brooklyn is doing their thing. In the finals, I would like to see Golden State versus Brooklyn.
That'd be some drama with KD and all that, huh?
Yes, it would. It'd be a lot of drama. It'd be a lot of talk. My main man Draymond would be out there talking noise.
Draymond's always talking. That's why I love him so much.
Yeah. And then it'll probably be, is Kyrie vaccinated? I know he can play in the home game, but can he play in the home games? They lost their first home game they need. So, you know, it'll be a whole bunch of other stuff.
Talk to everybody, because there's so many of them on this, listening to this podcast, about where your entrepreneurial beginnings were. When did you first know you liked the business part, the dollar, the flip, the action, that you, the same thing you enjoyed in sports, competitiveness and all that? Like, you were so outrageously entrepreneurial. Maybe we should even touch on some of the things you've done, but I think people are in tune here.
I was pseudo forced to become an entrepreneur out of fear. Let me explain. Excuse me.
No worries.
I'm cold up here in Atlanta. What I mean by out of fear is my father was a drill sergeant. So whenever an athlete made a mistake, I would get in trouble. No, seriously. So
I believe you.
So like if he heard a guy had $2 million and lost it, he would go crazy on me. Right. So then, you know, the older I get, the money start getting, you know. And then so one day he found an article about how way above 60% of professional athletes, all athletes, when they're done, they have nothing to show for them. Boy, was he upset. So he always, you know, for me, education. Basketball is cool, but you're not gonna be able to play basketball forever. You're the one that's going to get this family out of, you know, generations of, you know, not having anything. You're the one that's going to, you know, get everybody on track. And, you know, because of you, I get to have my first house. Like, he would all put a lot of pressure on me. And then I kind of blew it off. Then when I first started going to L.A. and really seeing what a superstar was, I just watched Magic Johnson. Mm. Okay, I was a local star in San Antonio. I was a local star in Baton Rouge. But this guy, it's a superstar.
Global.
Magic would take me to clubs, and I see Tom Cruise and Eddie Murphy and all these people pull up, and I was like, this is what a superstar is supposed to be like. So one day, me and Magic was having a conversation, and Magic says to me, it's okay to be famous, but at some point, you want to start owning things. And I had no idea what he was talking about. So, you know, the only education I had was, you know, I took an accounting class because I was able to get a million. I know what to do. I know how to balance these debits and credits and all that. So I bought a book. It was The Dummy's Guide to Starting Your Own Business. Mm. First thing I did was start a subchapter S corporation. I hired my family and I wrote everything off. And when I got my tax refund check, I was like, oh my God, the business is fun. I like it. And then, you know, I started doing things like, okay, I'm gonna start a shoe company. I'm gonna do this and do that. My favorite chapter in the Dummies Guide to Starting Your Own Business was joint ventureship. Hmm. So for example, if I'm gonna get into the NFT business, I'm not an expert on NFT, but my main man, Gary V is. I do a joint venture with Gary V, you know, somebody who I respect and trust. So that was my favorite chapter, joint ventureship. So I did my first joint ventureship with Reebok. Mm-hmm. I had the, you know, Shaq shoe brand.
Oh, I remember.
Your work. And then, you know, my next thing was I started Twism Records. I started a clothing line. All that stuff was good. But then, you know, the interesting thing about my life has always been peaks and valleys. What I mean by that, in high school, I wasn't a great player. Oh my God, he's the greatest high school player. Now when I get to college, hey, you got Chris Jackson, Stanley Roberts, not that good. The number one pick in the NBA draft. Oh, now you're in the NBA. You got Barkley, you got Jordan, you know, and then you have to work your way back up. So when I first started doing business, I was making money, but I was losing a lot because I would always invest in the get-rich-quick schemes. Mm-hmm. Right? They try to, okay, hey, let's do this, and you're going to make this, you're going to make that. Everything was monetary-based.
Transactional, so, short-term.
Yeah, short-term. I always want, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to be rich. I want to be rich. Not really focusing on, you know, was it going to change people's lives. I am a geek. Hopefully, I'm not offending anybody by saying that word. I am a geek. A geek saved my life in high school. I became involved with technology. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to know about everything. So I would go to Vegas a lot to all these tech conferences. Mm-hmm. And I seen a good-looking brother one day by the name of Jeff Bezos. And he's talking about Amazon. And he's what Amazon is today is exactly what he said it would be. Boom, mm-hmm. This, I'm going to do that. And from your phone, and boom, boom, bam, and boom, boom, bam. And the last statement he said, I'm investing all my time and energy into Amazon because it's going to change people's lives. And I was like, oh, my God. So now when I invest, if it's going to change people's lives, it has to be a win-win. Like, you know, my people, my agency, when I invest in something, they're not allowed to tell me if I make money. If you lose money, they'll say, hey, it's not a good investment. We need to do something else. But if I make money, I don't want to know how much I made. I just want to know that I'm changing people's lives.
Shaq, for my own sports nerddom, and I think I saw this in a documentary or 30 for 30. I don't fully recall it. When you said Magic took you around, how close were you to not going to the Lakers? Or how much did your business ambitions say, you know, LA is going to be a city where I can do more than Orlando? Like, give us a little alpha here, a little behind the scenes on, like, was that a big factor besides winning feeling that that would be a franchise? You'd have a higher chance of winning a ring. You guys had a real good thing going in Orlando. You, Penny, Horace Grant, you had some things brewing. You made the finals, you know, like where was the LA decision based on the crossover of your bigger ambitions post-basketball?
So the only thing that steered me toward LA was every year after we lose in Orlando, I'd spend a day in Orlando and then I would go to LA. Movies.
I see.
Albums.
Right. You were doing, you did the rap thing, you did the Shazam thing. You were, LA was drawing you.
Yeah, it was drawing, but I was familiar with the area. So then when it comes time to renegotiate, you know, I also read a book on negotiation. Say, start high and see where you end up at. Like if I'm worth $100, I'm really worth $200. And then they agree with me and then I'll say, okay, you're not worth $200, but we'll give you $150. So that's, you know, 50 over.
It's better than 50 than you, exactly. I got you.
So when we was there with Orlando, I was like, listen, $150. $150. I mean, I knew I wasn't gonna get $150. I knew that.
Yep.
Money wasn't there yet. But I just threw it out there. No, nobody's worth it. They put up a billboard, boom, bam, bing. And then I was getting ready to sign, believe it or not, 80 for 4, which is 20 million a year, which is good.
Oh, didn't something happen with Alonzo Mourning?
Yes.
I knew it. I knew my sports brain would. That's what happened.
I was getting ready to sign. The only reason why I didn't sign because I was in Atlanta with the Olympics. So I told him, I said, look, after the Olympics,
we'll lock it in.
I'll sign, but I know the money's there. So just let me go, you know, do my Olympic thing. And I'm in the room. Ta-da, ta-da.
Breaking news out of Miami.
was on Morning's house for 1:15. I was like, man. And then ta-da-da, on the same team. Juwan Howard signs for 105. I'm like, whoa. So then I, you know.
And Shaq, let's call a spade a spade. You also said to yourself, I'm better than those two.
Okay, and that's why I put out the quote. I wasn't trying to disrespect the great Elijah Moore, but I said, listen, if a BMW costs $115,000, how much you think it's
I remember
that's
that.
That's all I said. So then when I came back, they was like, no, we're not going to do it. And then I was at a strip club, Magic City, in Toronto. Mm-hmm. My former agent, Leonard Armato, called me. And, you know, I had one of those big gray dope man phones. Antenna. And Leonard said, you need to come see me now. I got what you want. I'm like, no, wow. Man. He said, I got what you want. So then when I get there, I open the door, it's the great Jerry West. Mm. And I'm looking like, oh, hello, sir. And the crazy thing, I've never told him, get me the Lakers. I said, hey, just let them know. Yep. Let them know what I want to see what they're talking about. And then Jerry, he said, Mr. O'Neal, you know I love you. You know I respect you. You're going to be one of the greatest big guys ever. Like, something I never heard from a legend before. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, one of the greatest players.
Yeah. The logo. The logo.
Listen, I know he wants me to come and, you know, he's selling the Lakers, but he meant what he said. He said, man, you can be one of the greatest big men ever. And we talked shop for 3 minutes, and then he said, I got exactly what you need. And I said, well, he said, I got some good news, some bad news. He said, well, what's the bad news? He said, I tried to make some moves to get that 150, but I couldn't. I said, okay, what's the good news? He said, but I got 120. I was like, what do you mean 120? He said, I got 120 million that'll make you the highest paid in the NBA. You know, I like that title, Gary. I like that title. So then I said, okay, let me think about it. He said, no, we don't have time, sir. I need you to sign right now. So he showed me the contract. And Gary, I've never seen so many zeros in my life. I was like, look, I didn't even call my parents. I didn't call nobody. I was like, okay.
You knew.
I don't want to mess this up. So then I signed. And then right when I signed, he said, let me tell you something now. I just got this high school kid from Charlotte by the name of Kobe Bryant. You and him going to be the best duo in Laker history. I was like, yeah, whatever, Mr. West. And then I signed. And I was like, oh, my God, I got 120 millions. But then, hold on. I got taught a word that I wasn't familiar with. So now when I first get to LA, listen, 120 for seven, what's that? How many, what 20 a year, something like that?
Yeah, a little less than 20.
Mm-hmm. A little less than 20 a year, right? So I get to LA, now I got a floss, Gary. I'm going up and I'm looking at mansions in the hills. How much is this, 4 million? Cash. How much is this Rolls Royce? Oh, that's 300,000, let me get three of them, another million.
No financing, huh? Just straight cash.
So then my accountant, Lester Nispikov, said, you're going to be upset with yourself. And I was like, wow. He was like, you just spent your whole first year salary. And I was like, another.
No.
20 million, I only spent about 10.
He said taxes.
That's tax. Now, listen,
taxes.
I didn't know nothing. Look,
and by the way, you didn't have state taxes in Orlando because you were in Florida, but now you're in Cali and they love to tax you there.
50%. So uh-huh. It was 20 million at the time. That when I looked at it, he said, let me show you a check. It was 10.9. Because I used to like to get all my money up front. Mm-hmm. Like cash. I don't want to like to get it and look at it. So when I saw my check was 10.9, I spent about 9 million. Boy, was I upset with myself. I really was.
Shaq, who when you, with the pizza stuff, with the, I mean, you're just doing so many very thoughtful things. You did, you know, something pretty unique with name, image, and likeness. That's usually, you know, you, for everybody's listening, the things that you see with the biggest icons, which is why he is an icon, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jackson, the, you know, Shaq, you know, did a business deal on his name, image, and likeness. You've really, really, like, I don't say this lightly, you've been very, very progressive in your business handlings. If I asked you what the biggest similarities and what the biggest differences are in competing in entrepreneurship and competing in basketball, what would be the answer?
The answer is teamwork.
Mm.
Another answer is trust. The final answer is never micromanage. I am the leader. I do not micromanage my agents. I am the leader. I do not micromanage Corey and Jamie from ABG. I am the leader. I do not micromanage Daddy and Colin and Uncle Mike and all these guys. They are my teammates. They're not yes men, they are my teammates. If I make a bad pass, even though I'm a Hall of Famer, I say, Shaq made a bad pass. How do you expect me to catch in the corner, Shaq, in rhythm and shoot a three when they double and triple team you? You don't make the correct pass. So I learned that, you know, you got to have trust. And another thing you have to have, this is the most important component, you have to have respect. I know my agent, my best friend, was Lion Prairie Rogers. We argue once a week. That's what we still respect each other. He's my guy. He's my brother. Anybody messing my Perry, they know what's going to happen. I mess with Gary Vee, they know what's going to happen for me because we have a lot of respect. So
I love that. Shaq, who in your early career, who was the best teammate in your first two seasons, would you say? Who taught you the most?
Dennis Scott.
He could shoot the three ball.
Because he taught me how to be an NBA man.
Give me a story on what D. Scott did early on that kind of got you on the straight.
There's two types of NBA men. No, there's two types of professional sportsmen. The wild one and the respectful one. So we'd go places and Dennis would go, bro, I can act like that. You can't. I could talk like this. You can't. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, bro, you're the franchise. Everybody's looking at you. First mistake you make, they're going to kill you. So D. Scott, I always made sure that I did the right thing, said the right thing, showed up. Like I never talked back to a coach ever. My father was my first coach, Dave Madura and Dale Brown. They didn't play that. But then when I got to the NBA, I was feeling myself. I'd go crazy in the locker room. Dennis said, bro, I know you're a rookie and young player, but we all look up to you. If you act like that, these guys might act like that, we ain't gonna never win.
You know what? I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just thought of something I really want to ask you. And I haven't had a chance to. And it's a question I think about a lot. My favorite thing about sports is when somebody goes to the next level and calibrates the level. You know, the five-star, you know, high school player goes to Alabama as a freshman. And does he, like, how long does it take him to realize that he's calibrated the speed, you know, because everything is speed and strength and ability. I recall very vividly being stunned how good you were, how fast it happened. I think I said this to you once when we had a meeting when I wasn't on the podcast, when we did this talk for the whole VaynerX company, I told you how devastated I was the first time you played in the Garden. Cause you know, I was like, okay, Ewing will get Shaq the first three or four or five times. And then in a couple of years, he'll take him over. Just like it happened with Moses and Ewing and Kareem and Ewing. That's what's gonna happen with Shaq. And the first game out the bat, you were a major fucking problem. I'm like, oh shit. So I never got to ask you this because I didn't follow it up. The last time we were popping, did you know in your first NBA game, you're like, oh, I belong in this league? You know, did it take a few minutes? I know at the championship level, you've told the story of, you know, Elijah one giving you all those shaking and bacon. And obviously anybody who's a big basketball fan knows the 4-0 sweep and how that happened. So that's on a different plane, but the NBA itself, game one, because I remember that Knicks game was game 7 or 13. It was early in the season. Did you know immediately you're like, oh shit, I can play with these boys?
I did, because when you were raised by a Army drill sergeant, you're not allowed to have fear. You're not allowed to have emotion. So forget the press. If I had a bad game, I had to deal with Sergeant Philip Harrison. So
you weren't worried about ESPN.
No, not at all. But it's a way not to deal with Sergeant Philip A. Harrison.
What do you remember from your first game? I'm starting to draw. I really want you. What's the, like, give me something.
So, you know, every time I step on the court, I have to make sure people remember my name. I have to make them go woos and ahs. Look, I'm 7'1". I know how to play. But I got to get this exciting play to let them know I'm coming. So, you know, first play in Orlando, it was a preseason game. I blocked Lonnie's second shot. I take it coast to coast, throw it down. Crowd's going crazy. Now they know who I am, right? This is what you're about to get all year. I'm about to show you Bam Bam himself. I'm trying to get those moments because once they go crazy, the adrenaline fluid from the fan releases into me and it just makes me.
It becomes a self, right?
It becomes so almost.
So, like,
make that. Always try to early in the game make that defining play because
Shaq, the jersey when you were in Jersey, which is your hometown, which is amazing, and you pulled down the basket.
Yes,
that wasn't your rookie year, was it?
Yes, it was.
What? That's what I thought. That's when it got real weird. It's like, okay, this guy's really on some different shit.
And but see the reason for that because I hated Dwayne Shinsis.
I remember him.
Oh yeah, but this is why. He came on LSU campus one day, he was walking around, and a little girl asked him, how's the weather up there? And he spit on her and said it was raining. So I always hated Dwayne Shins. I never got to play him against the cop, but I always hated him. So when I got the ball on him, I was like, you know what?
I'm gonna make you pay.
Yes, I'm gonna make you pay and let you know LSU will always dominate University of Florida.
I love that. Shaq, who in your prime of your career, which started pretty quickly, back to what we said, all-star rookie, all that great stuff, who caught you off guard in how well they either defended you or scored on you? Call it in that when you were feeling yourself, I'm one of the best players in the world. Who caught you a little something like, who's this kid?
Well, all the big guys caught me. Ewing was a mean son down with that pick and pop.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't let him get going before you got going, especially at the guard.
Mm-hmm.
David Robinson, that some bitch ran. Well, yo, man, slow down. Bam. And then, you know, Akeem Olajuwon with all those moves.
He had so many.
But, you know, my thing was, you guys are the master. I'm a student.
What about when you got to that, you know, to your point, you just mentioned the OGs that were the guys when you walked in, you passed them. Who was the first kid that came? I'm just being selfish on the podcast now. I just want to know these stories. Who was the first kid that you were like, oh, wait a minute. He could score easily on me, or he's locking me down. Nobody really could stop you. But like, who gave you a little like, you know, I know you talked about the Yao Ming thing in the Hall of Fame, which was made me laugh my ass. But like, did anybody like catch you? Like, who really caught your attention of like, oh, this guy's going to be different?
Tim Duncan.
Because,
you know, for me, you have to outwork me, which you're not going to do. You have to be stronger than me. You're not going to do. But you got to be Christian Leighton or fundamentally sound to the T. And that's what Tim Duncan was. He really was
big fundamental.
A fast runner, but the big fundamental, he will fundamentally last to death.
And did he catch your attention right away in that first season? You're like, this kid's going to be something?
Right away, because you know, I was guarding him, and he hit me with some, you know, some BS slow pump fake and jump. Now I got two fouls, and he's, you know, he got 15, 16 points. I'm like, shit, who is this kid?
Mm-hmm. Shaq, let's go back to the project one more time. So, before we get out of here, everybody, we get the great pleasure and honor of having Shaquille O'Neal here and also giving this community, we're timing this podcast drop just as this project's minting. One more time on what you're doing here with this NFT project.
Okay, I'm dropping the Shaq NFT Assets Project. 100% of the proceeds from the NFT drop will go to the Shaquille O'Neal Foundation.
And real quick, sorry to fuck up your flow, the Shaquille O'Neal Foundation, what does it do?
Listen, we help those in need, especially kids. I just built my first Boys and Girls Club here in Atlanta. I'm doing mostly stuff in Atlanta and Vegas because this is where I live. This is where kids, when you go to the store and you're at JCPenney and Walmart, and you can look up and see me anytime. You know, these two, this is where I live at. So
I love it.
100% of the proceeds from the NFT drop will go to my foundation. Sale goes live on Wednesday afternoon at notable.co, not com, notables.co. And I'm selling 10,000 unique Shaq Get Back NFTs, different attributes, fun combinations of outfits, facial expression, color schemes, and more. The artwork will pay homage to some of my iconic personas. On my
is there a genie in there?
Maybe, you know, different degree and more. And, you know, each attribute has a different level of
rarity. Everybody who's listening, I'll make sure to link this in my Discord tomorrow. We're recording this on Tuesday. It's dropping tomorrow on Wednesday. You're probably listening to this Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon. Links in the Discord, I'll share it on my social as well. It'll be in the descriptions in certain places as well. I hope we get to do this again, big fella.
I'm going to make you an offer right now, Gary.
Go ahead, my man.
Let's do something with me and you. Shut the game now. Larry Bird and Magic Johnson have been NFTs.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm the white Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh.
Shaq, I love you so much. I love what you do for the world. I wish people, honestly, I'm on a crusade to make sure that 8 billion people know who I am before I'm done and bring good and kindness. And along that path, I will make sure many of them hear it from me. I just admire who you are as a human being. I fucking mean that, my guy.
Thank you, brother. Ditto, brother. I feel the same about you.
Happy holidays, my man.
You too. Bye-bye.